Okay, so last month in this monthly tech study session, we began the conversation about artificial intelligence and medicine. And in that conversation, and I have the recording. I posted the recording on YU Torah. If you want to see it, or I can send it to you, and also the source sheet. But that was kind of a more practical conversation. We talked about the need, in my opinion, for supervision, for hashgacha when it comes to AI, the need for actual sensitivity when it comes to how we interact with AI, and also the role of values in AI, and also the importance of interpersonal relationships with a person's healthcare providers, and not letting everything become totally dehumanized and impersonalized. And that was more kind of like sort of, I guess you would say, like standard kind of halachic conversations. And we're looking at texts from different areas of medical halacha, medical Jewish law, and applying them to artificial intelligence. And I think that what I said there was, I think, very defensible and not so out there or shocking, even if it is a little bit maybe ahead of, the times, and a little bit kind of predicting where things are going to go. But what happened was, as I was researching and kind of preparing the sources for our discussion last time about these kind of more standard issues in the conversation related to AI, I came across, other kind of issues within, kind of Talmudic texts that just kind of I found intriguing. And so today, we're a little bit more kind of playing with ideas. Last month, it was a little bit kind of, I was making some suggestions. A lot of rabbis haven't opined on these issues yet, and I actually plan on asking some of the great rabbis of our generation some of these questions and then writing it up and kind of like seeing what they say. But today, it's more like, let's just kind of play with some ideas and kind of see. And so I put for the title of our conversation today, Can AI Have a Soul? Because that is kind of what we're going to talk about, but it's going to be a little bit broader than that, as I think I'll explain. But I think, as I studied these sources, I think I'm onto something here, but I'm not sure quite what. So I thought, let's just share it, and we'll discuss it, and we'll learn some sources together, and we'll see where it goes. So let me show you first when I was, making my way through. This was not related to this preparing this shiur, but just last week, as I'm looking at the Parsha, Parshas Vayera, and I was reading Minchas Asher on the Torah, and I came across something fascinating and beautiful. Rav Asher Weiss was quoted that the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishneh Berurah, which was written just over 100 years ago, mentions the whole idea of counting a golem in a minyan. There's a few halachic issues with a golem, and if you don't know what a golem is, don't worry about it. I'll explain in just a second, but I'm going to start here. And the Rav Asher Weiss was very surprised. Why does the Mishneh Berurah, which is meant to be practical halachic rulings for everyday life in our generation, Bizman Hazeh, why does the Mishneh Berurah talk about a golem? That's not something that we have anymore. So he says as follows, and then we'll go back and I'll explain what a golem is, and I included as much English as I could. I apologize mostly in Hebrew because I didn't have time to translate everything, but we'll translate everything together now. The Rav Asher Weiss says as follows. Meod naflesi, I was very shocked. Lama hevia Mishneh Berurah hai sveika achar she'ein bo nafk min helchasa bidareinu zeh. Why did the Mishneh Berurah even mention the whole issue of counting a golem in a minyan and what we do with a golem today? When there is no such thing as a golem today, right? We don't have, I know that people have a joke, the oilem is a golem, right? So, people joke around, you don't be a golem, right? But I don't think we have golems today. Like the Maral of Prague, they say, made a golem, and people go up to the attic there in Prague and try to find the golem. But we don't have it today. So why did the Mishneh Berurah include it? So then Rav Weiss writes, Ubisyata Dishmaya, Halom Ra'isi Shekasov Rabbi Aryeh Leib Ben Marna Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim's son wrote the following. He says, Shehiksha Zos La'aviv. He said he himself asked his father, why did you include this halacha in the Mishneh Berurah? Lama Kasav HaHalacha Zu. The Hilchos of the Mashiachahi. This is something that applies when the Messiah comes, not for today. V'lo l'maisa, it's not practical law as should be included in the Mishneh Berurah. So I put in bold here. Veshivu Hagon, and the Chafetz Chaim responded, Ki hizker halacha zu kedei lechazek tmimus hamuna bilvavos bnei Yisrael. I did it to strengthen the faith of the Jewish people. Sheyada'u ki haisa kazos v'af bedoros achronim. so that people should know that there really were golems, and even in recent generations, v'advarim maflim. And he's saying that a golem still exists in recent times. What does that mean? What's a golem in recent times? So first of all, let's go back. I'm going to try to argue why I think this Chafetz Chaim was saying something prophetic and completely incredible that I don't think they could have understood until the last, 15, 20 years. And I think he understood it, but I don't think others understood where he was going with this. And I think Rav Asher Weiss understands it, and that's why he's so impressed by this. So what's a golem? A golem is, there's two places in Chazal, there's more, but two places in Chazal that give kind of the background, and they're fascinating. First one is the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, Masechah Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. It says as follows. This is a really interesting piece of Talmud for lots of reasons, which I'll talk about a little bit, but for our discussion in particular, the Gemara says, it's talking about the creation of the world. And what we know what happened each day. But the Talmud then says, well, what happened each hour of each day? So it says, Shtaim Esrei Shos Haveyom. There was 12 hours in the day, as we know it's still today. Right? 12 hours, meaning if you divide the 24 into 12. So it's not actually 60 minutes. But anyways, 12 hours, 12 sections of the day. Sharishona, the first hour of the day that God created humanity, Hutzbar Afro. First, God kind of gathered together the dust, put the dust together. It's like that classic joke where, a scientist says to God, hey, look, God, I'm as great as you. I can create people too. And God says, okay, yeah, show me. So first he gathers some dust. He's ready, get ready to insert the DNA. And God says, whoa, wait, get your own dust. You think you can do it yourself? You start from nothing like I did. Anyways, first thing that happened, God gathered the dust together, kind of put the form of humanity. Shnia, the second hour, Nase Golem. Then humanity was a golem, kind of just like well, I'm not going to translate it yet. Shlishis, Nimtachu Evarav. The third hour, our limbs began to form, whether that's, the thumbs or the fingers or entire limbs. Revi'is, the fourth hour, Nizraka Bo Nishama. Then the soul came into us. Chamishis, fifth hour, Amar Araglav. And Shishi, sixth hour, Kara Shemos. Then humanity started to have wisdom and actually gave names to things. Now, it's fascinating. By the way, as a side point, it's fascinating. If any of you are into the whole, debates between like evolution and creation, there's lots of different answers to that. I'm not going into that right now. But one of my one interesting one, there's upsides and downsides to this answer, is the Rabbi Gershon, Dr. Gershon Schroeder, Gerald Schroeder. Right, he wrote Genesis and the Big Bang, and he argues that the world is 15 billion years old and 5,000, approximately 5,000 years old. How could that be? How could the world be both? So he argues that time is slowing down, and the first day was about 8 billion years. The second day was 4 billion years. The third day was 2 billion years. And so it depends on which way you're looking at it from. The world's either, just under 6,000 years old, or it's 15 billion years old. It's the same. And this piece of Talmud, actually, I never heard him quote this, but it kind of supports it, because this is saying once we got, 14 billion years in, we're up to day 6 now, and we're creating humanity. Also, humanity started out, slowly as just, Neanderthals basically. And then gradually, more, rose to their feet and they became humanity. But what I'm interested in here is what's the golem? What's the golem aspect? In the second hour, we became, a golem. So the Maharal says as follows. Sha beis nasa golem, perush, hamadrega ha beis shekibah achomer. It's when we have like the shape, kind of the body, the physicality of being a human. But then, Sha Gimli says, Shenimtechu Evarav, that was ki achar murchav hu hatzomeach, hu is pashus hagidul. Then we start to kind of grow and kind of develop into what we are now. One could say evolve into what we are now, or whatever God's method was of creating us. And then look, Sha Dalad, Nizraka bo Nishama. On the fourth hour, we got a Nishama, hu hachiyuni. That is what gives us our life force. That's what keeps us alive. So it seems that, there was some kind of a body created for humanity, and only later did we become humans that have a soul. But that was later, right? Okay, keep that in mind. Let's keep going. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what a golem is, but let's just get a little more, then we'll discuss it, then I want to really get a little deeper. The Radak, when the Radak talks about what it meant to be human, the Radak says, Vahiya Adam Lenefesh Chaya. Lenefesh Chaya, the Ruach Mamalala, right? What does it mean to be Lenefesh Chaya? We became living. So the Radak says as follows in his commentary on Bereishis there, Kishar Balei Chayim Shemis Noani V'Hochim Araglehem B'Koach HaNefesh HaChaya Tekef Letzesam. Like any other animal that they can kind of like crawl around and walk around as soon as they're born. You know, like if you've ever seen like a horse or a cow born, they kind of fall out of their mother and then begin to walk right away when they're born. Kainhu halach al raglav me'esh nafach bo akel ruach chaim lo kamo hatinokos shenolad achreikin. That was how animals were, but not humans. Animals were kind of just born and started crawling and walking on all fours. But animals, zeuki bikomaso bikdulaso nivra l'shato kishar b'lechaim atzmachim. But humans had to gradually learn how to walk. There's a fascinating commentary on this in the Sefer called Binyan Yoshua, but there's a great explanation of it by Rabbi Avi Gozlan in the virtual based midrash of the Gush. Says as follows, and this starts to get into the conversation about AI. You'll see where I'm going with this in a second. Stick with me because I know we're kind of out there right now, but it's going to make sense hopefully, at least to me. So he says as follows. He says Nemar Sham v'yipach ba pav. Okay, good. Thank you, Dr. Wilner. Ne'emarsham v'yipach be'apav nishmas chayim v'hiya adam le'nefesh chaya. So, okay, that's what we just read. Al pi perush haradak divrei ha'tanei be'rabbi avosei rav nasan mavanim. Also, the avosei rav nasan says the same thing as the Gemara we just read. He's commenting on the avosei rav nasan, but same thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's just different hours there. Kadosh Baruch Hu nofech nishama ba'adam. First, when God finally, in the second hour, or the fourth hour, in what we read in the Gemara, the sixth hour, according to avosei rav nasan, Hashem blew a soul into humanity. Ula achar mikan, and then on the seventh hour, it says there, Omed Adam al raglav. Then humans began to walk. They went from walking like bears, let's say, on all fours, to standing up and walking on our hind legs like we do today. Kolomar, samuch lekach shenitenes bo neshama hu yachol haschil leleches litzod lipol. After humanity got the soul, they began to sort of be able to walk, to take care of themselves, and to kind of do things. The soul is what enabled us to begin walking on two legs. So he says, so what do we do with this? What does it mean? He says, Ulam yitachen shatorah rotzeh lomar lano yoter mekach. The Torah is trying to tell us something deeper here. Balei achayim nivra miyad nefesh chaya. Animals have a soul. Animals do have a soul according to the Torah. They're what's called nefesh chaya. You know, we say this one is chaya, yechida, ruach, neshama. There's different levels of the soul. So a chaya, the chaya level of the soul, animals do have. And animals right away have that soul. L'umasam, however, on the other hand, etzol ha'adam, when it comes to people, misrachesh ta'alich, there's actually a process, a progression that happens. La'achar, and after, v'yipach be'afav nishmas chayim, after they get their soul, Nemar vayhi. That's why it says vayhi, and it is ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Yitachin. What does this mean? Shechazal teaches us mivtaim bekach es harayon shel la'achar shenitenes bo neshama. After humans get the soul, ha'adam holech umishave. Then we begin to progress and develop. Shelo k'mo ches. This is different than animals. Ha'adam lo nivra k'dei liskayim. Humans are not created just to exist. Lechapes es mazono lisparbos. We're not just created just to look for food and increase. Ela kedei lamod al raglav, to stand up. Litkadem, to progress, to advance. Litpateach lishtalem, to open things up, to develop and to complete ourselves. So to be to a human soul, what it means is, and this is just step number one. We're gonna go deeper in a second. But step number one is, what does it mean to have a soul for a human? A human soul means that what differentiates us is that the ability to advance, to progress, to grow, to develop. That's what it means to have a human soul. And the soul, the neshama, is what gives us the ability to develop and advance. Now, if we're just going to say, well, what about AI? Does AI have a soul? I mean, AI does develop and advance. That's the whole point. It's learning. It's developing. There's neural networks where it's increasing its knowledge and it's growing and it's improving. So I don't know. I mean, I want to say, it just sounds so obvious to me to say that no, AI doesn't have a soul. Of course, machine learning, there's no soul there. only humans have a soul. Okay, now we see also animals, living things have a soul. But you can't say AI has a soul. But it's really hard to define, because if we say that having a soul, what distinguishes us as having a soul is the sense of developing and growing and increasing growing, AI does do that. So what do we do with that? I'm going to have an answer, and I'm going to look for your answers too in a second, but this is my first kind of struggle. So let's go back and talk more then about what is a golem. I want to just share with you a little more, one more source on that, which I think is going to take us deeper. This is also Mishnah Sanhedrin. This time on Daf Samechei Amud Beis. This is a classic source, very interesting. It says, Amar Rava. Rava said, Ibod Tzadike Bara Alma. If Tzadikim wanted to, they could Baru Alma. They could create a world. Righteous people have the ability to create worlds. Shenemar, how do we know? Ki Avonoseichem Hayu Mavdilim. The Pasuk says, only your sins have separated you between the Tzadikim and Hashem. Rava Bara Gavra. And so Rava came along and created a person. This is in the times of the Talmud, right? 2,000 years ago, almost. He created a human being. Shadra Lekame de Rebbe Zeira. And this being went in front of another rabbi, Rebbe Zeira. Havakam Ishtai Behedya. And Rebbe Zeira would talk to it. Velo Havakam Ehadile. But it didn't respond. It was quiet. Amrle, Min Chavreat. Oh, I see. You were created by my friends, by other great rabbis. You're not human. Hadalafreich, go back to your dust. In other words, he was killing it. That's the whole discussion the rabbis have. Are you allowed to kill this kind of being? It's not really a human. So clearly, it seems like you could, because he killed it. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshia, Havu Yasve, Kol Mali Shabta, and so too Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Oshia would sit every Erev Shabbos, every Friday afternoon, Ve'aske B'Sefer Yetzira, and they would use the book called Sefer Yetzira, the classic Kabbalistic mystical book that explains how righteous people, if they know the certain combinations of letters, can create things out of nothing. They would work with this book, Umivru Lahu Igla Tilsa, and they would create a third of the way developed animal, a calf, that was already the perfect age for shechting, for eating, and they would v'achlele, and they would eat it. So now we have a new concept here. There's something here, and the rabbis say that this is also talking about a golem, that Rava created a person. But this person wasn't really a person. What was it, though? So Rashi says, first of all, a few important things. Ibo tzadike, righteous people can do this. Lios naki mikol avon, has to be people who are totally righteous, clean of all sin. Baragavra, they could create a person, Rashi says. Ayude sefer yetzira, this is the important line. Shalamdu tziruf osios shel shem. They know how to use the different letters of God's name to create things. By putting it into the right combination, the right order, they could create things. Flohaya mahadale, it didn't respond. Shalohaya bo hadibur, but it would not able to talk. And the Marsha explains. The Marsha there on that Gemara, Al-Atar, says, Lefisha koach haneshama shu hadibur lohaya yacho livroa. We know, as I mentioned before, this concept of ruach memalala, that's the concept of the soul, gives us the power to speak. What distinguishes humanity, according to many rabbinic authorities, of having the special human soul, is the power of speech. And so the Marsha here says, the koach haneshama is the dibur, and since this thing, this gavra, didn't have the power of speech, that's how Rabbi Zeira knew it wasn't human, because it couldn't talk. So it's clearly not human. So what he's saying now is what gives it a soul is the ability to speak. Which, I mean, first of all, there's so many fascinating things here. Number one, I mean, look, I'll just show you one other place in the Gemara that I thought was relevant, where it mentions this concept of a golem here in Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodea Haya Betzalel. Betzalel knew how to let Sarif Ostil Shinivro Bohem Shemayim Varetz. Betzalel made the Mishkan, the tabernacle. He was able to make it through the letters. He knew these letters also. Ostil Shinivro Bohem Shemayim Varetz, Ayyadei Tzirufan, Ube Sefer Yetzira Tani Lahu. He used the Sefer Yetzira. So, first of all, and now this brings us back to Rav Asher Weiss and the Chavetz Chaim, there seems to be this concept that the golem is created, and many things could be created by righteous people through letters. And what I find fascinating about this, and what I think the Chavetz Chaim might have been referencing when he said that just like it happened in ancient times, it can happen again today, is, think about it. We've talked in recent months about AI, artificial intelligence, and about CRISPR, gene editing. Gene editing, if you read technical scientific articles about how gene editing works, it's all about the letter combinations of our DNA, how we play with the letter combinations and how we read who a human is based on their combinations of their DNA, their genome, their letters, and changing the letters changes the human being. And AI, it's all calculations and searches of through letters. It's all through words. So it's incredible. Like, we have this ability to be creative and change humanity through letter combinations. And this is what it took to create a golem back in the day. And they seem to know how to do it. However, there's a number of caveats. But if I was just going to say one point, which is Rashi and the Maharsha here are saying that what gives a thing, a soul, is the ability to speak. And to the extent that it can speak is the development of its soul. So like we talked about, animals have some kind of soul and they can communicate in some ways, but they can't speak. And humans have more of a soul, so to speak. So what is that? And if we were going to say, well, wait a second, does AI have a soul? And we want to say, I mean, I want to say no. How could it have a soul? But can it speak? Well, sort of it can. Yes. So it does communicate, so to speak, in certain ways. And it can be programmed to speak. And you can talk to your Alexa, your Siri. And I mean, does that mean it has a soul? I could see how someone could say yes. I also could see how that just sounds ridiculous. So what do we do with that? And there's a lot here that are important points. So we've said that, you know, according to two theories about what it means in relation to a golem to have a soul, seems to be the ability to progress and develop, you know, intellectually, and also the ability to speak. And AI can do both. So does it have a soul? So let's just ask real quick, let's go back a step and just ask, did the golem have a soul? What did the rabbis say about that? So the Chacham Tzvi was one of the great rabbis that discussed this whole issue of golems having a soul, and can they count as a minion, and is it prohibited to kill a golem? You know, these creatures that people could create, you know, kind of like Frankenstein-like creatures. He says in regarding that question of if a golem has a soul, and there's a lot that he says here, but I just want to point out one important line. He argued, "Hine habria hi shehi betzura sa'adam," this thing, this Frankenstein creature, this golem that looks just like a human, "veloshe ba neshama, velo nefesh, velo ruach." It has no soul, not even an animal soul, nothing whatsoever. "Elechius ba'alma." It's just alive. Right? It's there's no soul, the Chacham Tzvi argued. And this is why he obviously didn't count it in a minion, and he said you could kill it. And he says it's clear there's no soul in a golem. However, Rav Tzadok HaKohen has a very interesting piece, a long piece where he talks about golems, and I read the whole piece, I just found it fascinating, but just for our discussion here, a few important lines. Rav Tzadok HaKohen, the great Hasidic master, had a different opinion than the Chacham Tzvi. He said maybe you could argue that a golem does have a soul. There's different opinions about what kind of soul. So he quotes first here. He says, "Vashikasav v'chesed la'avraham ein Yaakov." There's one opinion there. It says, "Te'ein lo neshama v'ruach m'malala." There's no neshama or even ruach, the highest levels of the soul in a golem. "Rak ruach habahamis." But it does have an animal soul. It has the lowest level of soul, but it has a soul, the golem. "Valkain mutr lahargo kivahema." So therefore, you could kill it if there was a need to do so, like an animal. "Ayin sham v'chein hu b'marsha b'chidush yagadosh," etc. So that's one opinion. He says there's clearly some opinions that a golem does have some kind of a soul. His opinion is even more than that, though. He says, "Ela de nishmas chayim v'yipach ba'apav shehi aruach m'malala ayidishu chelek elokam imal ze ein yuchon l'teit bo." No, it doesn't have the highest level of a soul in a golem. "Aval mikol makom lo gara mi akum." It's not lower than an akum soul. "Degam kain ein lo chelik elokam yimal." It might not be totally connected to God. "Vafal pi sheyachol ledaber." And even if it could talk, "Hainu b'lashon." No, that was in its own way. It's only own kind of communication. "Ve'ein ze karu dibur." That's not karui dibur. That's not considered real speaking. Speaking was a certain level of speaking, not anyone who could speak. And so maybe you could say that about AI as well, right? It can speak, but maybe it's not this highest level of speaking. But he's arguing that AI I mean, not AI. That's, I'm taking it there. He's arguing that the golem does have some kind of a soul, actually a human soul, just like the level of Akum, not the highest level of a soul of Yehudi. And then he a few other points. So he says there also, he says, for example, the Akum Medaber B'Lashon Kodesh L'Shono Saruach Ki Ein Lo Ruach M'mala. There could be speech, even in Hebrew, let's say, Ruach HaKodesh, but it's not considered the highest level of speaking. It's not with a soul in it. That's not Ruach M'mala HaMiti. Ruach Ke'ein Saf Sufe Ofos. It's like bird chirping. Ukumo HaNachash Kodem Achet, like the snake before the sin, Shehaya Yochel Adaber, that it could talk after Lohaya Bo Nishmas Chaim, but it wasn't alive with the soul, Fumitzada Sitra Achra. Whoa, there could be something that has a soul that could speak, but that's through the Sitra Achra. This is a whole another level now. Vekomas Adam, even if it's in the shape, a form of a human. Vezea Notzer Begdusha, all you they say for Yetzira, but if something's created with holiness through Sefer Yetzira, you cannot put within to it in a negative way the speech, so therefore it can't talk. But you could have, he says, sometimes something could not speak, like someone who's unable to talk, but they could still be very wise. So now you have this concept. Let me just summarize, and then I'm going to give my first answer. Then I want to just give a couple of kind of closing remarks, and then hear your reactions to this. But first, let me just summarize what I said, and then I want to give like a theory that could maybe even answer where my struggle is. Because what, on the one hand, we're saying, could we argue that AI has a soul? And again, this is today's session is really just meant to be for kind of theorizing and kind of playing with ideas. This is all in the realm of just discussion. This is not meant to be any kind of like halacha lemaisa or practical, right? We're just kind of playing with the ideas, and it's fascinating to think through. But it could maybe, you know, somehow, and I'm going to try to share how it could have maybe some practical implications. So we said, could AI have a soul? Well, maybe a relevant analog for AI is the concept of a golem. And we said, first of all, what it means for a human to have a soul is the ability to kind of walk on 2 feet, to progress, to develop, to grow. And then we said, well, if that's what it means to be human, but then again, AI also is, you know, learning, that machine learning. It learns, it grows, it improves, it increases. So I don't know, maybe there is some level of that there. Then we said, well, the other aspect of what golem means to have a soul is that it can speak. And it's an inability to speak is proof that there's no soul. But AI can speak, right? We talk to Siri and Alexa all the time. But then we said, well, maybe there's different levels of speech, and not all speech is speech, but maybe a golem, some said, doesn't have a soul, but some says there's some kind of a soul there. There's a little bit of a soul, lower level of a soul. What could any of this mean? So maybe one possibility that I was just thinking, and then I saw this in Rav Zilberstein's writings. Rav Zilberstein is discussing this on the on that Gemara in Sanhedrin about the golem. And he says, what about matzah mitziah lemi ze shayach la'atzmo or le'yotzer? If you find something, is it assumed to be the possession of the creator of an object or the person who finds the object? Regardless of the issue of the exact question, just his analysis was interesting. Look what he says. Rav Zilberstein writes, yesh li stapik kasher matzah mitziah lemi ze shayach la'atzmo le'yotzer. Vihine b'gyonei Shas in Sanhedrin, it says, Kasav, shekol ha-moli davar hu shalo. Anyone who creates something, they own that thing. V'hu kanui lo. And it belongs to them. Ulechein. Ben eino kanui la'avi v'imo. Therefore, a child is not the possession of their parents, though. What? You could say, what? The parents created the child, so they own them. No, that's gezeiros ha-kasav. The Torah simply says in the verse that, you know, humans, people are their own being, and therefore they cannot be considered the possession, the property of their parents. She'im kain lo yishtaka yisrael zulas dor midbar. So therefore you have no one except for since the dor midbar, since the generation of the desert. Levisha b'nehem hanoldim l'achar mikan heim kanun l'avihim, because they would all be owned by their parents and grandparents. Aval ba'adam hanotzer are yidei sefer yitzira. But what if a person is created by these letters, by the sefer yitzira? What if a person creates a golem? She'ein al ze gilui b'pasuk. The pasuk did not refer to that. Harehu kanui la'adam hayotzro. Therefore, a golem, a Frankenstein, right? This creature is owned by their creator. V'roi lios dino din eved kanani. They're like an eved kanani. De kanui gufa li Yisrael. That they kind of own their body. La'orizos imatza metziah harehi shayechas liyotso. Therefore, if they lose something, the owner has rights to their property. K'moshim metziahs eved kanani hu shel rabo. And I'm wondering if we can argue, no, AI doesn't have a soul. But there is some kind of connection to the creator of the AI. Because the human that created it, what does the AI really know? The AI learns from humans. So it's sort of like, I was listening to a podcast where someone was saying like, you know, you can tell like ChatGPT to make a poem, right? Or a rhyme or anything, you know. And someone was telling me, I was listening to somebody that said, you know, I listened to this great poetry that ChatGPT wrote, but it was great, but it didn't have a soul. It didn't have a soul because it was written by a computer, not by a person. And when people write poetry, their soul is being expressed in the poetry. But when ChatGPT writes poetry, it's just making it up based on Google searches, basically, and putting them together based on whatever it can find online, and therefore it's no soul. But in a way, it does have a soul. It's just a mishkababble of whatever's been written in human history and put online until now. So it's a soul, it's just a lower level soul. It's not that the AI has independent existence, but it is kind of funneling and transmitting what humans until now have done. Because if you think about it, AI is worthless without humans training it, without it learning from humans, and without it taking the information that humans have already created. So perhaps you could argue this whole discussion about AI having a soul, what we really mean here is not if it actually has a soul, that God blew the soul into the computer and somehow now your AI has some kind of godly soul that God created. Not at all. But it does have a channeling and maybe a corrupting, and as we'll talk about now to conclude in just a second, maybe even a corrupting of the human soul. But there is a reflection of that soul which humanity programmed into it, that you could say AI does have some kind of soul-like existence. It's not just nothing, meaning it's not just a rock you find on the ground, right? There's something there. And if, God forbid, like let's say, you know, you were the last human on Earth, but you had ChatGPT and you had AI to communicate with, you would be communicating a little bit in some ways, not just with yourself, right? There is, like, humanity until now, it has contributed to that, which you would be communicating with. There is something there. So I'm saying it's not that AI has a soul, but maybe it's a reflection of human souls that created the AI. So that's what I'm thinking right now. But let me share with you, because there's one concern, and then I'm going to share with you just this last source, because I just found it to be so fascinating and profound and relevant, and then wrap up just with that. And because I think it actually even has some practical implications, and then we'll close. And I really want to hear your reactions. You're welcome to tell me that I just lost my mind. But I'll ask ChatGPT if they agree or not. So this I saw when I was looking at all. I was trying to read all the commentaries on that Gemara in Sanhedrin Samech Amud Beis about the, you know, Rava Bar Gavra, that golem, and I came across this fascinating interpretation by the Ben Yehoyada. That is the Ben Ish Chai from Iraq, from the last generation, great rabbinic leader in Iraq. And he says the following, and this just really, really, really got me thinking. So he says, and we're just going to read the first half of this, but the whole thing's up here. He says, V'nir libisyat edishmai, de'isa b'sefer shevet mi'Yisrael, al masha ne'mar b'Yishaya, higidu ha'osios le'achor, v'neida ki elokim atem. If you put I saw the translation say something like put the creation, but if you tell the letters, you put the letters backwards, and learn that you are God, you could do good or you could do bad. Which in modern day, I mean, just reading this and recognizing that what humans can do with letters, talking about gene editing or AI, I mean, you read this verse totally differently today. Because he simply seems to be saying, you know, with letters, you can do good or you can do bad. But he's something about, you know, turning it backwards. So what does that mean? So the Ben Yehoyada explains, Pirush Inyan, Al Pi Mash Amru B'Yalkut Reuveni, Ki Ben Sira Asa Golem. Also Ben Sira, it says there, the Medrash says, created a golem. All you date Sirufiosis, through combining different letters, he created a person, a Frankenstein type of thing. It was through Aleph Beis, right? Through Aleph Bet, A and B. Uba Yirmia. So Jeremiah came, Hanavi, Aleph Shalom, Ve'achicho, and he protested. What are you doing? You can't just create a person. This is very risky. Ve'shivlo ben Zira kvar nivra uma esa. But he said, I already made him. What can I do now? Amar lo Yirmiya Navi Alav Shalom Tein Da'atei Lechaven Kol Tzirufin She'asita Lachor. Think of everything you did now backwards. Put those letters backwards. Beder Tashrak. Tashrak is the alphabet backwards, right? From the last letter going forward. So you can undo it if you just put those letters in reverse order. You can undo what you made. V'az Yachzor La'afro. And then it will go back to being dust. V'chein Asani did it. Nimsa. So now the Ben Ish Chai is, what do we do with that? And how is this relevant for our generation? I think it's actually incredibly relevant. I'll tell you why. Three reasons, I think. Nimsa. Im yu borim bria ayidei tzirufi osios. If we were to create a creation through combining different letters, which we can do now, right? CRISPR, AI, or you say for Yetzira. Im yachzor v'yitzarif osam b'tzirufim l'achor derech tashrak. If you put those letters backwards, reverse them, yashuv hanivra l'afro. It goes back to it's undone. Amnam Hashem yisbarach, but God, Shehu HaBoria Amiti, who is the true creator, im yavo adam abriya shebarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you come to something that God created, say Rufe Osios Lachor, and you try to undo a person or anything else in the world by undoing their letters backwards, lo yuchol lipol klum. You cannot do it, because when God creates something, it's permanent. It cannot just be undone. Ela tishar habriya kamo shehi. It stays the same. Which, by the way, we spent a lot of time talking last time, actually the previous time, when we talked about CRISPR, about the issue of playing God. Is it wrong for humans to play God? And we talked a little bit about, well, what does it mean to play God? And I think we sort of said, like, it means to try to take powers that you don't really have, take on extra power. But you can argue from the Ben Yehoyada here, that he's saying what it means to play God, God is only the one who can create permanent creations. God has the ability to create permanent things. And we should not play God when it means permanent creations, which, by the way, AI and CRISPR has the risk of causing permanent, if you lose control of AI, or if you create CRISPR in the gene editing, in the genome, such that it now all that person's descendants will be changed forever, you have changed things in a way that cannot be undone, and that is playing God. This might be a different definition than I said last time of what it means to play God, and this is a big risk. Anyways, so he goes on. That's why it says, Higidu Osios Lachor. That's why the Pasuk said, turn the letters backwards. Ki Rishe Yisrael. Now, this is the point here. The evil people, Bosos Ma at that time, Hayu Bale Shem Meforesh, they knew how to play with letters. They knew how to create things with the letters in Sefer Yetzirah. Vahayu misporim bedavar zeh. And they were exalting themselves, glorifying themselves, right? They're saying, look at my creation. Look, I deserve a Nobel Prize for this. Everyone, I need to be published for this, right? They were showing off. This is the opposite, right? This is what's wrong with playing God. I mean, you think that, you know, you deserve praise for this, and you're rushing to create things just because you can, but maybe you shouldn't. So evil people were using this to create things just because they could. Right? And the Navi said, Turn it back before it's too late. And then you'll know that you're God. In other words, because only God, because you're not God. Right? Kolomar, if you can turn the letters back, v'nisharu habrios kamoshem, and if they don't turn back, v'lo batlu az neida ki elokim atem v'im batlu maseichem, if it stops though, az nikar she'ein mamash bechem, then you know that they didn't really work. In other words, God wasn't really with you. So, you know, what he's saying is that if you try to take these powers, and evil people take them and create things that cannot be undone, there's massive risks in that. And, you know, I was looking through, and I'll show you now, I was reading this document called Ethics and Governance of Artificial Intelligence for Health, WHO, World Health Organization Guidance. This is a 200-page document, fascinating document on ethical issues in AI in medicine. And a lot of them relate to things we talked about last time, but a couple of things I think are relevant for this even. So first of all, he says, you know, only Hashem can truly create things. When people do, they do it just to show off, and they destroy things. But if it's to be godlike, it can be good. But part of the thing is, one of the concerns about AI in health is adoption of AI can lead to situations in which decision-making could be, or is in fact, transferred to machines. The principle of autonomy requires that any extension of machine autonomy not undermine human autonomy. In the context of healthcare, this means that humans should remain in full control of healthcare systems and medical decisions. One of the major, major ethical concerns about AI is if we lose control of it. We program it in ways that it wants to keep learning, and it reinforces its own learning, and it has its own desires and its own reward system that it becomes out of human control. One of the major warnings of ethicists today is make sure you program AI in such ways that you can deprogram it, or you can control where it's going, or you can change it, because if it gets out of control, it can undermine humanity for its own goals. And it could be one of the biggest threats to human civilization, theoretically, because everything is, our whole lives are now computerized and with technology, and they could do all kinds of horrible damage. And this is what God has the power to do. As we saw in the Ben Yehoyada, God has the power to create things that are unchangeable, that are unreversible, but we should not be creating things that are unreversible unless somehow we want to say that we are righteous, but we know that we're not, as we'll see in a second. And the other concern is, not only should we stay in control, in other words, not create things that are permanent and have permanent implications, but we should also be careful about our expectations for AI, recognizing that they are created by humans. And just as I said before, if there's some kind of a soul in AI, that's because it's the soul of the creator. But humans are imperfect. So too AI is imperfect. And unrealistic expectations of AI can achieve, of what AI can achieve may, going back in the text here, however, unnecessarily discourage its use. Thus, machines and algorithms and the data used for algorithms are expected in public imagination to be perfect, while humans can make mistakes. Medical professionals might overestimate their ability to perform tasks and ignore or underestimate the value of algorithmic decision tools for which the challenges can be managed and for which evidence indicates a measurable benefit. Just like humans have biases, they can accidentally program those biases into the AI. Just like humans are fallible, that can be programmed into the AI. The AI doesn't check itself. There's been many people, like, for example, now with the ChatGPT, there's been a whole field of people asking it questions that it gives you very confident and intelligent-looking answers that are totally mistaken. So AI can make big mistakes, and sometimes we think it's godlike, but actually come to find out that it is far from it, because it's not being created by God or even Sadiqim, righteous people, but people who are not quite righteous, let's put it that way. These are important warnings. So even though I said we're talking today on the level of theory, I mean, this is real important stuff. And this comes back to the Kedushas Levi that we looked at a few weeks ago. And then I'll conclude with one last point here. Well, actually, let me go back to that point first, and then I'll come back to the Kedushas Levi. The Rav Zilberstein, when he made his comments on that Gemara in Samechei Amud Beis and Sanhedrin, he also sounds a warning cry. He doesn't mean it for AI, but look what he says here, just an important point. He says, Od hei ir shem rinam b'gemara Sanhedrin, Amar Rava, ibo tzadiki bar alma, just like we just read. Rava said, if righteous people want to, they could create a world. Shneamar, kevano seichem hayut mavdilim. Uperish Rashi, ibo tzadiki. Only righteous people could do this. It said tzaddikim, remember? They have to be lios nakim mikol avon, totally clean from any sin. Ulechora, havelei lefarish ibo tzaddike. So Rav Zilberstein now says, maybe you could explain this to mean that if righteous people wanted to, im rotzu tzaddikim yicholim livro alma. If righteous people wanted to, they could create a world. Ela perish bezeh, what this means is, shirak tzaddikim shem menukim legamri miavon. People who are totally clean from sin. In other words, no ulterior motives, no biases, no impurity in the reasons they're doing this. Totally righteous. They could create, you know, CRISPR, gene editing, AI systems, right? Kamo ha'arba shemesu be'itav shel nachash. Like the four who died only because of the sin of the snake. Meaning, the Talmud says there was four people in human history that were totally righteous and never would have died. Four out of the billions who have lived. And those four people are not most people have heard of. It's like Moshe's father, Amram, and David's father, Yishai. It's just four people. That's it. Everyone else has had some imperfections, and they do not have the right to create things through Sefer Yetzirah unless they are perfect. Heim yecholim levar alma. Veheim hayu bara adam. They could create a person. Haya adam hazeh b'shleimus mamash. And that person, that creation, would be great. B'li hevdol mi'adam shavar shemus bari. That would be just like a person that God creates. Of Adam Shish Bochet, but humanity, people who have negative traits and mistakes and sins, Eino yachol livro adam b'shlemus mamash. They cannot create something perfect. Kasher b'shlemus, like God does. Valzei maitse gemara raya, and that's what the gemara brings, why it says that Rav bar Gavra, v'af mishalmilanu, shemilanu gadol miravan. Who, and anyways, who's better than Rava? So even if Rava is not one of those four, none of us can say we're greater than Rava. Rava had the right to do this, but not us. Mikol makom l'malas elush ein behem shum avon v'lo mesu rak b'itov shel nachash od lo higia. We don't have anyone that perfect. Zev shepeirush Rashi tzadikim shemunokim mikol avon. That's what Rashi said. It was perfect people who were totally clean. Lachain kishera Rabbi Zeira she'ein bo koach adibur. But that's why Rabbi Zeira got concerned. She said ikur shlemus adam al kol nivran. That when they couldn't speak, he said, "Oh, this thing is not perfect. It's not created by God." And he realized that this must be disposed of. So to conclude, and I'll just kind of conclude myself, and then any comments you have. The Kedushas Levi, if you remember, I shared this source when we were talking about CRISPR, but I think it's relevant here. And it actually goes to this week's Parsha, unintentionally, but I'll take credit for it. He says, Rashi in Bereishis had said, Amar Rav Yitzchak lo hayat tzarich l'haskel ha-Torah ela mi'achodesh le'lechem. The Torah only needed to begin with the first commandment, which was Rosh Chodesh, ha-Chodesh le'lechem. Why did the Torah begin with the whole book of Genesis? Ma tam pasach b'Bereishis, mishum koach ma'isav higid la'amo l'seis lem nachas goyim. Because God wanted to show us the great actions, God's great actions. So we saw the creation of the world and the great founders of our faith. You know, she'im yomra umos l'Yisrael listimatam, that if they will say, you know, you stole it, no, God will say, nope, God created the whole world and God could give it to everyone. So near the farish. But maybe the explanation is, hine b'Bereisa bara kudsha brichu alma, God created the world, v'chol davar sh'yesh ba'olam, yesh bo osios ha-Torah. Everything in the world has letters. Remember, this is being written well before anyone knew about the genome and how we have letters in our DNA. But he says God created everything through letters. V'nitzosos kedushos hamislav shelsham. And that all has holiness. That comes from those letters. V'adam kulo mirach evarim keneged yesh remach mitzos aseh. And we are created from our, you know, 248 limbs, just like the 248 mitzvos and the 365 gidim, like the 365 prohibitions. V'heim achil shalab ha'evarim v'agidim. And those letters of those mitzvos give us our strength, our life force, our soul. And even the land, earth, also has 248 limbs and these letters. Because there are mitzvos as well. And we do a mitzvah, we are connecting and creating and supporting the world. He goes on, and his basic point here is that that's why we do mitzvos. The reason why we have the book of Genesis is to know that there's mitzvos to do, that there's a way to live, and that kind of creates the world, and the world is created through letters. And then he concludes with a warning. V'halavai sher Hashem Yisborach yitein lanu leiv tahor leida mitzvah shel kol davar v'davar. And may it be that God gives us the wisdom to know what each letter does. Each letter in the DNA, in the AI. And his point is, we can achieve great capabilities, but our capabilities might exceed our wisdom. And we have to pray for the wisdom to be able to interact with the world and utilize our capabilities to the best possible utilization. So just because we can doesn't mean we have the wisdom of how we should do it. And so what we're saying here is that the world is created with letters. And the Chafetz Chaim recognized, as we said before, that just like the golem was created, new creative powers are coming back to humanity, but we don't just utilize those powers, and as the Ben Ish Chai said, and just be mispower ourselves, just to kind of show off, just because we can. We have to be extremely careful, extremely cautious, free from all ulterior motives, and we need the most righteous and careful people to carefully do this, and to gradually work on having the wisdom to how to make these changes properly, and recognize that that it's not just a game to be played with and playing God. Only God can do something that's permanent. Our actions have to remain, you know, temporary and careful and cautious. And maybe there is some kind of soul in the AI and the creations that we make, because it's created by us. And therefore, our ulterior motives or our mistakes can also be expressed in the AI. And so we have to be extraordinarily careful. That's just what I wanted to share today. I hope it made sense. And it's really just ideas to play with, but I think it's relevant in our rapidly changing world. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really curious to hear any comments or reactions anyone has.
Thought of that, you know, before your discussion. Plato's, he took a chicken and he plucked off the the feathers. He said, you know, what is a human being? A featherless biped, right? Mm-hmm. We're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, you know, is it that the ability to speak, is it just sort of, you know, the historically humans were the, you know, that was a description, that if you can speak, you know, that was a description of what humans were, but that is, if you had a soul, you could speak, but not all things that can speak have a soul. So so now we know that, say dolphins speak,
right? They communicate,
they
right?
Have a language. Do they have a soul? So if you take, so right, and you said about the divine, right? If you take away the divine, are all these other issues, are they just manifestations of describing human beings rather than being essential,
right?
Essentially in and of themselves,
right? That's like a mirror. They're like a mirror of a soul, but they're soulless themselves, or something like that. You're saying.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. But again, yeah. your shiur was wonderful. So there's also you may have mentioned this, the Turing test.
Yeah. Say more. Yeah. Right. Say more.
So the Turing test, where, like, you know, could a person tell, you know,
right.
you know, that is it a, and that's really this chat thing,
right? The
ChatGPT, right?
Which a lot of people, they couldn't tell, right? If they wouldn't know, it's, yeah.
So does that even matter, right? So it's the same issue. So we're like, well, so what if I can't tell?
Right.
They don't have that divine. It's that thing, the divine essence.
Yeah, but see, part of it is what. Go on.
No,
I mean, part of what I'm saying is, like, also with that, yeah. There, at that time, people were saying, like, oh, if you could ever create, you know, AI or some kind of computerized object that was that good that you couldn't even tell, that would have a soul. Oh, that would be like. And now that we're there, we can do it. People are, we again, you know, recoil at that and say, no, well, wait, it can't be. It can't be that it has a soul. It doesn't have a soul. But every definition we come up with of what gives something like that status of humanity, of spirituality, of a soul, it achieves it, right? It gradually achieves
right.
it. So
right.
That's why my answer is sort of like, it's a mere, because it is created by humans. So there is some kind of a soul in there. But it's just not an independent soul. It's not a soul created by God, so to speak. But it's something, right? It's not a rock. It's not just nothing.
Right.
But I don't want to get carried away and try to say, like, oh, I think AI is, like, human-like, and we, you know, have to, like, there's a point at which it's ridiculous. Like, we can't say that, but it's hard not to say it because it's like, yeah, it's a reflection of the human soul, but it accomplishes so much more than we were ever expected something to be able to accomplish. And so it's hard to categorize it.
But it's any definition we would give. We'll hit that definition.
It'll get there eventually. Right. Exactly. That's the challenge. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. I know we've gone a little overtime, so I feel
oh,
bad.
Sorry.
No, I wanted comments, but I just want to start. I guess we'll wrap up now. But please be in touch if anyone has more questions or insights or thoughts. I'd really love to hear them.